excited to be here with you guys this morning. Paul wrote in many of the letters to the churches how he was always refreshed when a member of ministry would come back with good news, or how a faith in a church was rising. And what I mean to say is, when men gather together under the banner of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the head. We are the body. But in each of our households, in relationships, in businesses, in homes, we are in his image. We are the head. So whenever we gather for something, we have expectations and what the Lord's going to do. But I know that the Lord's going to do something way more powerful than what we could ever imagine or think of. And so I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. Thank you for everyone who's came out to be with us today. Let me just open up in some prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We are grateful, Father. Today is the day that you have made, and we rejoice. We tell our soul, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We thank you for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Father, ask that eyes are open, Father, and ears are open to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Wherever each one of us is at in their journey, I just thank you, Father God, that there is an equipping, Father, an admonishment, Father God, a strengthening, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, you reveal Christ in each one of us this morning, today. I pray you glorify Christ in this atmosphere, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So about a year and a half ago, we had a prophet come into the house. Her name was Cindy Jacobs. The Father declared glory into the house. He declared glory into the region. He declared glory over this nation. He declared glory into the body of Christ. And at that time, but I think like a month after that was decreed, I was in prayer with the Lord, and the Lord told me straight up, he's like, the still small voice, Jordan, you are a glorified son. I said, wow, that's cool. I said, that's cool. Like, what does that mean? And so he set me on a journey to know him in that place. He said, Jordan, I've glorified you. And so I've been in this pursuit to understand and to discover Christ as the glorified son. And so up until about, I think, like a week and a half ago, it dawned on me, maybe I should look up glory, see what that means, and honor. And so the word glory, it means praise. It means worship. And so what the Lord is speaking into my identity. He's speaking into our identity every single day. We have so many distractions in the world today. So many things that are pulling on us like never before. One phrase, one word God spoke to me, I've been chewing on it for a year and a half. And so worship and praise, it means glory means to praise. That means Father speaks into me and he's saying, son, I'm building you up to be a son who praises me, to be filled with full of praise, to be full of glory. You can't have glory without praise. And so God speaking into my eternity, I need that. I need to be refreshed. I have so many things pulling at me. Some of my prayers that I try to pray every day are, Lord, I pray that you deliver me from self. Self-awareness, selfish ambition. I pray, Lord, that you deliver me from, right? That's all iniquity is, doing it my way. Lord, I pray you deliver me from doing it my way. And then another prayer I try to pray every day is, Father, I pray to be present. as men, especially in this day and age, we need to be present, not only in our homes. Father, I pray to be present with my wife, that I'm not scrolling Instagram or on Amazon or ESPN, whatever. I pray to be present with my children, you know, like giving them my whole attention, my focus. I pray to be a good employee, a good coworker, a good boss, that I'm present at work, I'm focused. In this day and age, it's really important for us to be present. Scripture tells us to be present with the Lord is to be absent from the body. So he's building praise-filled sons. And so we have a group called Father's Heart, and we're so blessed to have Pastor Steve sow into us for about 2 years straight, twice a week. And he would literally preach to us till he was blue in the face. Just two things. Most of the times, he'd probably want to come preach another thing, but the Holy Spirit just kept telling him and telling him and telling him and telling him worship and service. And so that's what these two, when God's, I glorify you, son, that means he's creating in me worship and praise, but my identity needs to be centered in what, and Jesus. My identity needs to be in him, my worship, not my service. For me, a lot of times my identity gets wrapped up in what I'm doing. And I go down these bunny trails that I end up holding the Lord hostage. Well, Lord, I have a $150,000 quota this month. And I just start to lose my joy a little by little. Or, you know, instead of, I find myself in that Martha spirit. But Lord, tell this person to help me. Or instead of what I need to be Mary, sit at Jesus' feet. I need to be washed with the water of his word. I need to enjoy the Lord. If prayer isn't fun, we're not going to do it. Quote Pastor Steve. If I don't enjoy prayer, if I don't touch the hem of his garment, if I'm not able to, I won't do it. So there's that worship, that there's that identity inside of worship that enables me to go and scrub the toilet or stock shelves, or I'm not living a life of well, I'm praying, Lord, so that the rest of my day can go okay. That's just convoluted thinking. That's not kingdom thinking. And so we're going to be in John chapter 10 today and Romans 8. And if there's time, Hebrews chapter 5. Ask the Lord for a clear picture. Lord, give us a picture of yourself glorified, a practical position as a son, how you function in the earth and as well as in heaven. I want to bear that image. I want to hold that by faith. I want to collect that. I need to have something tangible that I can attach my faith to. And so he gave me John chapter 10. We're going to be verse 17. It's a beautiful chapter. It's loaded with promise, loaded with truth and declaration. Therefore, my Father loves me. I'm going to pause on that for a second. Therefore, my Father loves me. Jesus was the most celebrated, the most adored, the most to him in the Father. He is celebrated. Father, you love me. The union that we have, it's been before time began. No one can tell me that you don't love me. This assurance, this confidence that I have, you can place me with prostitutes. You can place me with thugs and tax collectors. You can place me around people. Therefore, my Father loves me. I love the word love here because this word love, it's not agape, it's agapao. It's a moral love. I love the moral because the entire world is a moral issue. Where everyone's fighting over what's right or what's wrong. But I love the moral love because Jesus, in context, is saying, "It's Father, you love me, for who I am. It's personal. No matter who we are, it's Father, you love me. It's personal." And I love that. It also, this love speaks of the ability to receive love. Therefore, my Father loves me. There's an ability to receive love. And so Jesus, Pastor Steve's been talking a lot about receiving love. Receiving love that we may go give it away. It's not, I have to tell myself all the time because it's real easy to get caught up in me and God. It's not me and God, it's we and God. It's about the man next to you. And so it also speaks of, it's compared with the Greek word phileo, which is like friend, like kiss of tenderness, affection. As much as we're men in this room, I've come to believe that men actually need more affection than women. men need to be loved. As leaders in the communities, leaders of our homes, like we're responsible of receiving Christ's love and giving it away. If I'm not positioned in Christ as his son, the banner of love washing over me, the world is pulling from me constantly. And if I don't have love, it's just gonna start pulling strife. It's gonna start pulling, you know, frustration, anger. So I need to, this love, this affection that Jesus has with the Father, he's created this relationship for us to come in and abide. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. We're going to focus on two words here, lay and take. It's funny because in the kingdom, the word lay means to settle down, to sink. Jesus isn't striving against his, you know, he's not striving against us. Even now in heaven, he's not striving against us. But he wasn't striving when he was on the earth. When the contest come and when the conflict came, he would just settle down. Where's my Father? Where's my Father? Where I need to find you in this place, Father. Where's my Father? Locate. Once he located the word of his Father, Jesus could go into any situation. He's a man. We follow a man named Jesus Christ who has ascended on high, who's been glorified, seated at the right hand of God. But we follow a man. He walked by faith, received by faith, opened this book by faith and said, I am the Son of God. And by faith, we're doing the same. We're walking that. So he lays down. He lays his life. In context, he said, I'm laying my life down for us because of he was offered up because of our offenses. He was raised for our justification. So the Lord told me, it says a couple of times in the Bible how the sin of the earth would reach the heavens because it was just so wicked. It was so bad. Father was telling me, I think it was a couple days ago, he's like, well, I flooded the earth once. Won't do that again. Burned up a couple cities. I won't do that again. It's like, I think of the Israelites. I'm like, Father, I remember asking God, I want to see, you know, rivers split open. He's like, what's that going to do? They turned away from me like 3 days later. What's more attractive is the faith in the unseen. It's like, the temporary is going to fade away. I'm attracted to the faith that lays hold of the eternity. So sin reaches the heavens. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to send my son. Probably the Bible verse the entire world knows. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. It's the motivation is always love. Jesus was always motivated by love. He's always motivated by love and he's always in connection with the Father. And that's what we're called to do in this earth is to abide in Christ. And so laying down. He's laying down. He's submitting to the Father. Submission to the Father is powerful. If I could learn, that's what I'm learning in the days of my flesh, is to submit to God. So the word lay, settle. And the word take, I love this word take, because take is used twice in the next few verses, but this word take means, it actually means to receive. Jesus said, those, you know, seek to save their life will lose it. Those who lay it down for my name's sake will find it. It's a weird functionality in the kingdom. The laying down that I may receive, the letting go that I may reach forward. A lot of times, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I have to remind myself that all the time, especially when offense comes, especially when we deal with people. I tell people, we deal with people. I have this phrase at work, you know. I run a shoe store. I say, we're in the people business. We just happen to sell shoes. We just sell shoes, but we're still in the people business. You know, we're community. That's how I teach them to sell. Like, we're building a connection. But with Jesus, he's in the saving business. And so as representation of Christ in the earth, a lot of times we see Jesus isn't a victim. He's not a victim to the things that are happening to him. He's actually building his faith on what is actually happening to him. But as Jesus walked the earth, assured as his son, confident, see, Jesus knew where he was going and where he had come from. That enables us to love fiercely. Because I'm not using the present moment, the present time, as a means to which, well, you being nice to me, I'll love you. Right? Jesus says that, you know? If you love those who only love you, what good is that? And sinners do that. So learning how to love those who it's hard to love. So the word take, it's to attain. It's to receive. It's fundamental in the kingdom to lay it down, that I'm not a victim. I'm actually choosing to forgive. Jesus, Father, chose to forgive us by sending his son. So I choose to settle down, to not get offended or take offense. I choose not to. I'm just laying it down because I know my Father has my back. And I'm finding Jesus in this place. And so that's so powerful. The union that we have, you know, and it's not like letting people walk all over you. It has nothing to do with that. It's exercising love and saying, you know, Proverbs tells us, you know, the fool barks back immediately, you know, but a wise man is calm when insulted. So it's people oriented. No one takes it from me. I like that. Nobody's taking anything from Jesus. No one's taking from me either. That's that victimization of it's a releasing. It's a letting go. I lay it down of myself. No one takes it from me. This is the other word, take. It's arrow. It means to keep in suspense. It means to suspense of the mind, make to doubt. It's compared with Mark 4:15. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. The word, if you were to just look at take in the English, it might seem that Satan has authority to just take the word from your heart. That's not the truth. The truth is, Satan, God gives us a promise. We, by faith, we're holding on to it. He speaks word into our heart. We have it. Satan comes. Can't just snatch it from you. But this is what he does. He puts you in suspense, start yelling at you, barking at you. He make you to doubt, did God really say you were a glorified son? I know what you did yesterday, Jordan. You know? Did God really say? So he can't take anything from us. We have all authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And he has all authority over flesh as well. And so I love this, that Jesus is saying, I can give out, I can give away, and no one's taking from me. In context, it looks like he's addressing not only the Pharisees, but he's addressing just the crowd, everyone that's there. And he has his purpose in mind, that going to the cross, he's voluntarily laying himself down, but that he receives the promise. No one takes it from me. Tell your neighbor, no one's taking from me. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. This is the juicy part. I have power to lay it down. This power is the exousia. It's the authority. But a new word that I've added to my vocabulary or attach my faith to, this is the same word for jurisdiction too. That means I'm allowed to be here. Yeah. See the badge? It's right there. Just kidding. I'm allowed to be here. And so when the challenge comes, because it will, it's supposed to, because we're supposed to find Christ in the challenge. I always hear Pastor Steve too, like he used to preach 1 Peter, and I would just cringe. I'm like, here it comes, that the testing of your faith, which is much more precious than gold and silver, be to the praise and glory and honor of Jesus. And I'm just like, oh, I'm having a bad day at work. But that was my immature thinking, right? The more I mature in Christ is actually the more that I value the challenge, and I have a different mindset when it comes, that when it comes, I'm not trying to get out. I'm trying to let Christ in. And so, but I fail all the time. That's a hard play. That's hard. We're talking about valuables. Faith is valuable. Faith is very valuable. It's more valuable than gold and silver. So Father values, when he says, Jordan, I glorify you, first he said, Jordan, I glorify you. Okay, Father. And then about 6 months after that, he said, you're a glorified and honored son. That means, the word honored means value. It's crazy because the Greek word for honor is actually time, time. And it means valuable, time paid. And so Father is speaking this over me, and I need to allow these words to form in my heart. And my prayer is that these words form in your heart. Recently, life is more than the marketplace. It's more than, you know, the hustle and bustle of life. I love in John 17, we could actually go there real quick. Can you pull up John 17, start verse 1? I'll pull it up right here. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. There's that given, that's that praise, that's that worship, the identity, the give and take with the Father, the relationship. As you have given him authority, exousia, jurisdiction over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This whole chapter is loaded with glory. And that's my desire. That's the purpose of my heart. That's the reason why I get up in the morning, is I need to know him. I want to hear his voice. His one word from the Lord speaks. One word of the Lord can get me through an entire day. Just the affirmation, the celebration, confirmation, just being in his presence, the fullness of joy. I'm addicted to joy. It's like drugs for me, straight up. You guys probably see me around the house, like acting like, you know, like a kid, jumping on people and wrestling. And I'm addicted to joy, like that childlike joy. I'm all about keeping my heart light, you know, no heavy spirit. Joy is, that's a attribute of the kingdom that's attainable every day. That's probably the number one thing I try to like give people is joy, you know, just to raise, let's go higher. Let's get happy. Back to John 10, verse 18. This is the seal on this. This command, or no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. This is the seal. He received this is a commandment that Father gave him. In context, he's talking about the command of Son, you're gonna lay down. I'm gonna place all of sin of creation upon you, past, present, future. I'm gonna separate myself from you, that I'll never set that me, you, and the Lord will. There's never separation is the biggest lie. If you ever feel separated, first, just tell your soul to shut up and then move from there. Because separation, it's your soul that's, I feel like God doesn't love me today. Well, your feelings aren't right. So God loves you every single day. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Praise the Lord. But this command I've received from my Father, this is like the seal. It's like, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Some days I wake up and I just tell God, I'm so thankful I know I'm going to heaven. You know why? It's because I can, the Holy Spirit, you know, you're in prayer and the lift of the Holy Spirit comes. When I get that lift, I'm like, that's how I know I'm going to heaven. That's the guarantee of the purchased possession. When you feel the lift inside your heart, when the hope arises in your heart and you're just like, Lord, I can't. That's my favorite place to be, because that's where Jesus is able to walk around, carry that into wherever he's going. All right, we're going to jump to Romans 8. We're going to start with 14. One of the first things Father is always going to do, especially when we come before him in prayer, he's going to address the separation issue, the orphan spirit. Father is so intent. The more I get to know Jesus, the more he's after. I don't know if any of you guys have seen The Matrix, but when Neo is being trained to, you know, he received all these downloads and they're in a training room. And, you know, Morpheus, I just look at, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit and me. And so Neo's like, I know what you're trying to do. And Morpheus looks at him and he says, yeah, I'm trying to free your mind. And so most mornings, the Lord, for me, he's just trying to free my mind, my death grip upon life to, you know, frantically control my reality. He's just trying to free my heart. We have this saying at work, it's called KISS. You guys have probably heard it, you know, keep it simple, stupid. just trying to keep it simple. The Lord, a lot of times, is just trying to keep it simple. A little bit of joy, a little bit of praise, a little bit of hope. For your weary soul, He's just trying to unlock our hearts. He's just trying to, the initial impact of salvation is repentance. We turn to follow the Lord. But the impact of salvation in the days of my flesh or until the Lord comes, this space in between is the glorification. I'm walking that out by faith. And so to do that, gotta have joy. So verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We saw in John chapter 10 that there's an ability to receive love. There's also an ability to be led by the Spirit. We've been so gloriously taught by Pastor Steve, you know, a lot of times we can, you know, not reject the Holy Spirit, but quench him, or because he's going by a lot of times. That can't be God, or actually that's not what I want to do. And so it's really a skill. And my prayer for us is that that skill is enhanced today to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The word led means to lead, to bring, to carry, to keep. To induce. A lot of times the Lord's just carrying me. These things ought not to be. I want to mature in Christ. The maturing of the body of Christ. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, which is slavery, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For you did not receive bondage. This is the same word, lambano. Actually, and it means, it can go both ways. It can be take or receive. But two things. With the word receive means to take into one's possession. And there's two methods to receive, something offered or something delivered. It's kind of like junk mail. Right? A lot of times I open up my email and I'm having to just swipe right and delete a whole bunch of stuff. But it's when like I said, something's being offered and something's being delivered. What's being offered is from the enemy. It's daily. It's something he's offering it. You know, like when he told Jesus, if you'll but fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. It's an offer. It's illusion. He makes it look really pretty. And then something's been delivered. Sonship has been delivered, sealed, paid for. It's there. It's ours for the taking. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There's the affirmation, the connection. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I just want to point out this word suffer, because as I was saying earlier, suffering with the Lord, the more I discovered glory, the more I saw that there is suffering involved with it. And a lot of times, you know, I'd be on these, you know, God highs, and I'd be scaling the heights with the Lord in the secret place. He's showing me all these things. And then, you know, I go through the day, and all suffer means is to experience pain. And a lot of times it's emotional pain. It can be physical pain, of course, but a lot of times it's emotional pain. And so as I'm walking out this glorified sonship, God's teaching me to not turn back or to hold the thing which he's given to me and to like not let that fall just because the contest comes. And I love that it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed, but I just want to focus on if children, sons, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs. And so I just want to close this with a prayer. And I just want to stimulate your thinking because as the rest of the day unfolds, the move and the wave of the Holy Spirit, it was very strategic in grabbing someone from each generation. So our heirship with Christ, the generational blessings that each one of us carries, I want to challenge your thinking, make sure that we're pulling and we're expectant in what God's going to give us. So Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. Father, I just pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you deliver the goods. That you deliver the goods, that you have the good stuff, that you are giving good gifts to men. Even now as I speak, Father God, you're filling us up. And it's more than a feeling. It's not just a feeling, it's truth, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, for hearts, fertile soil in hearts, Father God, to receive the word, Father God, and that the blessings that come would multiply 1,000-fold.